Pure Dog Talk is the voice of purebred dogs. We talk to the legends of the sport and give you the tips and tools to create an awesome life with your purebred dog. From showing to preservation breeding, from competitive obedience to field work, from agility to therapy dogs, and all the fun in between, your passion is our purpose. Welcome to Pure Dog Talk. I am your host, Laura Reeves, and I am thrilled to have our very favorite veterinarian, Dr. Marty Greer.
You say that to all the girls.
No, honey, I really don't. Our very favorite Dr. Marty Greer is here, and we're going to talk about, as usual, so much of what we talk about on this show is either something from my life or a listener or somebody talked to me about X, Y, or Z. So I just went through a bout of panosteitis with one of my puppies, and then her breeder called me and said, "So, has your puppy had pano? Because mine have, and another one has." And I'm like, "Oh, well, okay, good to know."
Yes, a phone call would have been helpful. Yes.
Yeah, well, now we know. Now we've all got this thing put together. So there's one thing, communication is key. And another thing, that just because you've never seen pano in your line doesn't mean you're not going to see pano. All right, you guys, let's be honest. Sending puppies home is a big milestone. But the questions and follow-ups about potty training, those can be endless. So that's why I'm excited to share something from our partners at Brilliant Pad. It's called the Potty Training Concierge, and it's completely free. Check it. Your buyers get a one-on-one call with a Brilliant Pad expert before the puppy even leaves your house. They walk through setting up a potty area, how to create a consistent schedule, and what to expect those first few days. It's real support tailored to your program that helps new owners feel confident and keeps you from being on call 24/7. So even if you don't use Brilliant Pad yourself, this program still works. If you're looking for a simple way to help your puppy families and protect your time, go check it out. It takes less than a minute to enroll, and it's a game changer for your program. That's brilliantpad.com/potty. Don't forget to tell them Laura sent you. All right, guys, whether you're a first-time breeder or a seasoned veteran, it's not just a litter, it's your legacy. Each puppy represents your hard work, your dedication, and it shows your commitment to the next generation. Revival is honored to support you every step of the way. You can find everything you need to support your litters and the health of your dams and sires with Breeders' Edge, Revival's premium line of reproductive and neonatal health products. Breeders' Edge was actually developed with the help of our very own Dr. Marty Greer, Revival's Director of Veterinary Services, and a leading expert in canine reproduction and neonatal care. Breeders also rely on Revival, the pet vaccine experts, for vaccine selection and safe shipping to give their litters the protection they need. Revival's online pharmacy serves breeders with a wide variety of prescription medications, plus a knowledgeable staff that's always ready to answer any questions. Grow your own healthy legacy with help from Revival Animal Health. And check this out, one time only, $15 off your order of $99 or more by using the code PODCAST15. You can use this code by calling 800-786-4751 or stopping by www.revivalanimal.com. So let's talk about it. Panosteitis, I always heard it described sort of as growing pains, but I know you've got much better insight on it. And there's some differentials about other things that might make our puppies lemon.
Right. And I think that's a really good description, but it kind of circles us back to why do breeders understand their lines of dogs and what's the importance of having a good communication with your breeder. So when you trot into the veterinary clinic with your puppy that has something wrong with it, that you can effectively share that information. Because if you have pano in a dog in the litter, or HOD or ununited anconial or fragmented cornoid or OCD or whatever, chances are you may have a litter mate with that as well. So having a veterinarian that's open-minded and willing to talk to you and your breeder, it can save you a lot of money because you can go to a diagnosis and it can save you a lot of grief. It'll save your puppy a lot of problems. So just make sure you stay in good communication with both your veterinarian and the breeder, because as an alliance, we can really make a big difference in how these puppies are diagnosed and treated.
Absolutely. 100%. So talk to me about Pano.
Pano, yeah, I think growing pains is a pretty accurate description. And it's typically a young puppy, usually at their most rapid growth phase, somewhere between 5 and 8 or 9 months of age. And they're usually, but not always, males. I know I've had it in females. The very worst case I ever saw of Pano was a female, and it was not a heavily boned dog. But typically we think of them as heavy boned, like large boned dogs that have a lot of structure, and typically boys, because they typically have those more thicker bones and more rapid growth and the things that boys do that girls don't.
My experience with Pano was not mine. It was with somebody else's dog that had Pano and a Clumber, which, okay, that makes total sense to me, right?
It's a heavy bone dog, yeah.
A wire hair pointer, like I've literally never seen it, but there you go. There's a first time for everything.
I've seen it in a corgi. The worst case I ever saw was a German short hair pointer, a small female German short hair pointer. And normally, I mean, this puppy had the worst case of Pano I've ever seen. She was painful for a very extended period of time, to the point that it was shortly after she was spayed at another clinic that she developed this. And I had my radiologist ultrasound her because she was in such pain. I was concerned that there was a gauze sponge left in her abdomen or something much different than just an orthopedic thing, because this puppy was curled up and painful. I mean, she was a hot mess. So it was really interesting because it didn't fit any of the normal criteria. So my radiologist looked at her, said, I can't find anything. Let's go take some x-rays. We did. And like Pano like leaped off the x-ray at us. And normally it's kind of a subtle change, especially if you have a really attentive owner that comes in the first couple of days that they're limping. The Pano often doesn't show up well on an x-ray in those initial days.
Yeah,
it takes usually
a
couple weeks before it shows up radiographically.
And what do you see? Like, I have seen HOD on an x-ray. I've seen OCD, which isn't really an x-ray. It's more of an ultrasound. But what do you actually see when you look at an x-ray?
In Pano, in the long bones, so the typically the humerus, the femur, those are typically the two bones. So the upper leg, front and back, so femur, back leg, humerus, in the upper, right around where the nutrient foramen, so where the blood vessel comes into the bone, you'll see this kind of fluffy look where normally the channel inside the bone, you'll see the outer cortex on both sides, but inside it's usually a faint color of white. And this is really fluffy and much more white than it should be. So it's a really interesting look because it's not a joint. It's not in a joint like OCD, like ununited anconial, fragmented cornoid. Those are joint issues. So they're typically in that long bone. And on physical exam, when you manipulate the joints, the puppies aren't painful. But when you press on where the nutrient foramen is, so it's the back of the humerus, one third of the way from the shoulder to the elbow. So not close to the elbow, closer to the shoulder, one third of the way down. Or on the femur, again, the back of the bone, a third of the way down from the hip to the knee, you put pressure there and the puppy will give you a pretty good indication that's where it hurts. So that's a pretty good indication before it'll show up on x-rays. Now, that doesn't mean you shouldn't x-ray just because you think it's Pano and it's because it's early. Because if it is one of these differentials, which we'll go into a little bit of detail on, you want to make sure that you're not missing anything. Because the first corgi I had, my male, had Pano. And then there was another puppy in the subsequent litter that I assumed was Pano, and it turned out that it was a premature ulnar growth plate closure with some other issues. So we'll go through that list of differentials once we kind of focus on Pano.
When this puppy started limping, it's a wire hair puppy. So first I assume she's a dumbass and
trauma,
something stupid, right?
So trauma.
I ignore it. And then it's going on for a couple of days and she's like screaming. She's in pain. I'm like, okay, I think we need an x-ray. And it was probably day 2 or 3 of the manicness of it. So that is interesting to know that she wouldn't have seen it on x-ray, because we did RADS.
Yeah, you won't see much, but you want to make sure you're not missing the other situations. Right. Because those are very different in how
I've had range. HOD. I was expecting it to be HOD, right?
Yeah. So where do you want to start? You want to go with HOD? You
pano.
Want to go with joint?
Pano. What? Let's finish pano. Sorry, my bad. Let's finish pano. Long bones.
Right, long bones. Anti-inflammatories are your treatment of choice. Okay. There's all kinds of information on the internet about vitamin C and all these things. And actually, you can cause harm with vitamin C, even though it's a water-soluble vitamin. If you give too much, you can cause too much of acidity in the system, and they can have stomach upset from it. So a little vitamin C wouldn't hurt them, but really, there's not a great treatment other than anti-inflammatories like meloxicam, carprofen, and those are all safe in puppies that are over 5 months of age. And the other thing you'd probably want to do, if you haven't already, is put them on a large breed puppy food. So a typical puppy food is not appropriate for puppies with pano. You want to put them on one of the companies that make a large breed puppy. And there's several on the market that are good. Essentially, what they do is just slow down the puppy's growth and slow down their caloric expansion, because they're just growing fast. And that's what the growing pains are. It's essentially growing pains. And people describe them, but dogs can't really tell us how they feel. So we have to base it on physical exam, on ruling out other things on x-ray, and response to treatment. So if you put them on an anti-inflammatory like Medicam, which is meloxicam, or carprofen, Rimadyl, one of those, Duramax, Galliprant, there's a number of non-steroidals on the market. Any of those can be very effective, and they can be used even if you only do it for a week or two, just to make sure that we've got some good pain relief, because these puppies are painful. Now, a lot of veterinarians like gabapentin for these younger dogs, but GABA really does a better job on neuropathic pain, not so much on bone pain and joint pain. So if it's a really young puppy, it's probably not pano. They're typically that 5 to 9 month old puppy at that rapid growth phase that you're going to see that in. So at that age, a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory like Galliprant, Medicam, Carprofen, Duramax, any of those are all appropriate for sometimes a few days, sometimes a few weeks, till you get a resolution of clinical signs.
On the dog food question, large breed puppy versus adult, just regular dog food.
Yeah, the large breed puppy does a better job of addressing the puppy's growth needs for calories, for calcium and phosphorus balance, those kinds of things. An adult food isn't a bad idea, but typically I only do the adult food for a puppy if they've got this weird thing where they break over at the carpus, which we can also talk about, which is where they seem to have a calcium phosphorus imbalance, which makes their bones and their ligaments and joints grow at different rates. And in those, it's always a front leg. And this is the carpus, the wrist. It's different than it is. This is your elbow. This is your wrist. This is your carpus. And these puppies will have a bulging carpus. They will stand kind of tippy-toed, and they'll kind of tremble. And when you look at them against a wall in profile, this will bulge forward. Instead of it being this nice straight line, this will bulge forward. Yes. And in those, for sure, I switch those over to an adult puppy food. And usually 2 to 4 weeks is all it takes to straighten them back out. But if you don't do that, these puppies can be pretty seriously debilitated. The very first one of these I ever saw was shortly after I started my practice. I was recently out of veterinary school. I had no idea what this was, but it was a Great Dane puppy. It belonged to one of our farm clients that lived very close to the clinic. And he came in. This was a farmer. This was a dairy farmer. He came in tears because he was sure that this puppy was so badly debilitated that she was going to have to be euthanized. And I didn't know what it was. I'd never seen it before. I called the vet school, talked to the radiologist there, and she said, well, this is what it is, and this is what you do, and put her onto adult dog food instead of puppy food. And back in the day, Purina Puppy Chow was kind of notorious for causing this. Switched the puppy to an adult food, and within 2 weeks, she was straightened out. And of course, the farmer stopped crying because he didn't have to euthanize her. And he was quite relieved. And you know, dairy farmers, they're pretty tough guys. They're kind of used to, well, you know, if it isn't going well, we're going to have to ship her. Yeah. Well, that wasn't going to happen with the Great Dane.
Interesting. I certainly have seen it a million times. You know, you evaluate litters, you see your puppies, you see other people. So it's not, to me,
again,
it's
the big growthy.
Uncommon.
Yeah, but it's that growthy puppy in the litter, which can be the same puppy as the pano puppy.
Which I see a lot. I mean, that 8-week eval time is like prime to see those.
Yeah.
I always associate it, and this is really interesting that you're associating it with food. I always associate it with structure because in those puppies that I see that do that, almost all of them are super forward in their front, short upper arms, straight up in the shoulder. And so that's what I've always associated it with. That is fascinating that it's also associated with food.
They may go hand in hand. That, you know, just because there's one doesn't mean it couldn't be both.
Yeah. Interesting. See, this is why these conversations are so cool because...
Yeah. There's a reason we evaluate puppies at certain ages because they go through these phases of growth. They go through the uglies. They go through some phases. And you look at them and you're like, aha, that hurts my eyes.
Don't look. Don't look. Don't look.
Exactly. And if you liked what you saw at 7 or 8 or 10 weeks, whatever your breed, whatever your breed says, don't look at them again, except to make sure that you're feeding them correctly. Don't look at them again because it's going to hurt your eyes.
And, you know, this is an interesting conversation for another day. But for me, the times that I've had dogs that just sort of perfectly grew, that grew absolutely in balance, that never had anything out of whack, like never were butt high, never were like, you know, whatever, never nothing. Those turned out to be the best dogs in the end, like enormously valuable. And it just is not common.
No.
Back to Pano.
Yes. But this is all important because it's all about structure.
Yes. So Pano, growing pains, NSAIDs, little crate rest.
Oh, anytime the puppy's painful, crate rest is important.
Right.
Because you can't just take him out there and keep pounding on him. It's not going to go well.
Convince the wire hairs of that. I'm just offering that up.
I can't fix your wire hair.
It's a challenge. So on our list of differentials, because I think 5 months is the most interesting age, right? Because it could be, as far as I understand, and correct me if I'm wrong, it could literally be any one of Pano, HOD, or OCD at 5 months.
Or ununited anconial, or fragmented coronoid, or premature ulnar growth plate closure, or trauma. Yeah. It's a long list. So if your vet kind of scratches their head and says, think we're going to need an x-ray, you should do this with your head.
Nod it up and down.
Yes, you should, because that's what you need to know. And you don't want a five-month-old puppy to be left underdiagnosed. Now, a day or two, maybe, but you know, you get out to more than a few days, you need to be at the vet clinic with your puppy for an assessment, for x-rays, and for appropriate pain medication. And it's pretty interesting how many different things it can be. Trauma is unfortunately pretty common.
Very.
Yeah.
In my breed, really common. Extraordinarily common.
Yeah. And this is why, you know, you put your puppy in a crate so when you hit the brakes, the puppy doesn't fall off the seat and have a green stick fracture. Or, you know, when you're walking through the house, you're wearing socks, not shoes, because we all know what happens with puppies underfoot. I've had more
shuffle
collisions
your feet.
Than
just
I...
shuffle yeah. your feet.
Yeah. There's more and collisions than I'd like to admit.
Hang tight, guys. Got a little bit of information for you. We'll be right back to the podcast in a minute. Purina is excited to tell you about the new My Purina app that lets you share with your puppy buyers. Using the app, pet owners can shop, earn points, and get rewarded for their purchases. Here's how it works. Pet owners download the My Purina app from the Apple App Store or Google Play Store on their mobile device. They also can sign up for an account and access the program's features online by visiting purina.com/mypurina-app. When pet owners buy everyday pet supplies like treats and ProPlan puppy and dog food, they can scan the receipts to earn rewards. Dog toys, food coupons, tote bags, bag dispensers, smart ID pet tags, and training clickers are just some of the great items available. The My Purina app supports puppy buyers and rewards them for being a super pet parent. They can find the formula that suits their pet's unique needs and explore the train and play content library for a bonding experience with their pet. Encourage your clients to join the app that brings pets and the Purina passion together. My Purina, where you shop, earn, and get rewarded. All right, you guys, I know I've been talking about this a lot, but I just want to make sure everybody hears about it. I know every pet owner out there has questions about their pet's health. The Marty and Laura Show is here to help. Hosted by Dr. Marty and I, the new podcast delivers fun, fact-based conversations about all things pet health, whether it's a runny puppy nose or a kitty cough. This show is really designed for your puppy buyers, for your friends, for your non-dog folks in your life, you know, your cousins, uncles, brothers, girlfriend. So feel free to share this on. We encourage you to use this as a great resource for the non-dog people in your life. Talk on. Hey guys, I am super excited about this. Marty and I have been working on a brand new series of seminars that we're bringing to the Dog Fancy called Pedigrees to Pups. And we are launching it with sort of a taste test on June 13th here in Grants Pass, Oregon, my hometown, with my local dog show. We are bringing together the art and the science of dog breeding in one place, and we're so excited. We're going to talk everything from selecting your foundation bitch and stud dog, to reading pedigrees and breeding theory, to mating and whelping. The event here in Grants Pass is a short little overview, 3 hours before the dog show starts. And on the weekend of September 5th in Hawaii, we will have a 3-day seminar. And the following weekend in Wisconsin, we'll have another 2-day seminar. And so if you're really interested in doing a deep dive, you want to hang out with Marty and I, ask questions, get one-on-one advice, up close and personal mentoring, this is the way to do it. Stop by puredogtalk.com, go to the events page, and you will find out about the event in June. And we'll keep it updated as we have details on the events in Hawaii and Wisconsin. We look forward to seeing you guys there and cannot wait to kick off this seminar series. So Pano is that 5 to 9 months. HOD is the younger end, is my understanding. Am I correct? So HOD, when it impacted my puppy, was like, I don't know, 10 weeks, 12. I mean, he was very young.
So HOD is hypertrophic osteodystrophy. And that's almost always a front leg, but it can be a back leg. And that, again, is taken as an x-ray. And that's going to show at the growth plates on an x-ray. They're going to show up as this widening, this weird kind of fuzzy look there.
It almost looks so like again, a bone. It's terrible.
Yeah, except that it's bilateral. It's going to be equal on the right and the left. Trauma is going to be typically more one-sided. So again, you want to make sure that you're going to a veterinary clinic that's willing to take x-rays. And I'm really, really fanatical about how we take x-rays. Back in the old days, when we had to use x-ray film and chemicals and all this stuff, the staff would try and kind of cheat and put both front legs or both back legs on the x-ray at the same time. It was less x-ray, it was less film, it was less chemicals, it was less time. And I don't let them do that. If they're going to take an x-ray of this, I want this leg on the x-ray, and then I want this leg on the x-ray, because when you try to do them both at the same time, they're going to be slightly rotated. There's no way that you're going to have them equally straight. So they do one, then they do the other, because digital x-rays, yes, there's still x-ray exposure to the staff, but there's no chemicals, there's no film, there's no waiting. I mean, it takes an extra 10 seconds, right? So I'm fanatical, and you should go to a veterinarian that's also getting you good x-rays. And if they can't get you a good x-ray, then you shouldn't have to pay for a good x-ray. You shouldn't have to pay for a crummy x-ray. So you should have your veterinary clinic that's willing to do this, have technicians that are really good to work with. If they need to sedate the puppy, that's okay. If they have to do that, they have to do that. And then if they can't give you a good solid diagnosis, I would suggest that you have the x-ray sent to a radiologist. Mm-hmm. Now, in my practices, all of our x-rays either go to OFA or radiologist. Not all clinics do that. So again, there's an extra fee for it, but it's not ridiculously expensive. And the value of having somebody that sits in a dark room for a living that looks at things in the dark and can imagine things that aren't there. I mean, these people, these radiologists, they're unbelievable. We always used to laugh about them because we'd say, oh yeah, they put on their goggles, you know, because they can see things I can't see. I've looked at a lot of x-rays in my career and they'll say something. I'll be like, oh, well, look at that. I would have totally missed it. So if your puppy gets an x-ray and it's not getting better, ask for a radiologist to look at it. And then sometimes repeating the x-ray, even in as short a period of time as 1 to 2 weeks, if there's a green stick fracture, like a green stick fracture means it's a fracture that broke one side but not both, that'll start to look a little more apparent because it'll get fuzzy. If there's HOD, it's going to get fuzzier. If there's ununited anconias, if there's other things going on, they're going to become more apparent. So don't balk at having another x-ray a week or two later. If your puppy's still limping, it's not getting better, and your veterinary clinic is like, I'm not really sure. Either see an orthopedic surgeon, which I'm going to guarantee an orthopedic surgeon is going to want to go to surgery. So, you know, I'm a little more conservative than
that. On HOD, you're not going
to
do that.
No. You're not going to go to surgery. But there are times that surgeons are a little happier to go to surgery than maybe they need to be. So make sure that you're going to somebody that's really good. And if they're not, see an orthopedic surgeon. Just trot in and see an orthopedic surgeon. It's worth it.
Okay. So HOD is younger, and my understanding, again, correct me if I'm wrong, with HOD, not only do you get the super, super painful, you get the very specific x-ray, but you also get a temperature.
Yeah, a fever.
Yes, a fever.
All dogs have a temperature, even if it's room temperature.
I know. Y'all, it's just a fever. Hit me over the head next time.
It's often associated with a vaccination.
Yes.
Irish setters, Gordon setters, a lot of the setters maybe in your breeds as well. It's often within a day or two of a vaccination, and we don't really understand why, but there's a really good reason there for you. If you have a line of dogs or a breed of dogs that has issue with that, is titer your puppies, like do a nomogram on the bitch so you know when to vaccinate the puppies, titer the puppies as soon as they've got their series so you can make sure that you can give an absolute minimal number of vaccines and reduce the risk of HOD. And if it happens in one litter mate, I'm going to tell you, it's pretty common to be in several, not necessarily.
I had never seen it in my breed. My personal puppy was affected, and I called every single owner of every single puppy in that litter, three other puppies affected.
Yeah, but if you don't communicate, you don't know.
Yeah, and they all grew up fine. None of them was horrible. I did an obscene amount of research on it because this was something I had never seen. The Great Dane people, so I'm dying to hear your take on this. The Great Dane people who deal with HOD a lot, they swear by feeding pedigree dog food. They basically feed these dogs cardboard because they want to grow them slow.
And if it works, I'm not going to argue with success.
Okay. It is the reason I feed my dogs adult food. Even my baby puppies get adult food because of that experience.
Yeah.
And I don't use a particular brand of vaccines, and I don't feed a particular brand of dog food. And yeah. Okay. So HOD, much younger. When is it that you're kind of not going to, it's that 5 months, right? That's kind of the cutoff where you're not going to see HOD anymore.
Pretty typically, yes.
Okay. So Pano, HOD, another differential, OCD, which is older, right? Like my bitch was diagnosed with it at 6 months.
Typically older, anywhere between 6 months and probably 12 to 15 months of age. And OCD is osteochondritis dissecans, which means that there's cartilage in all the joints. And it's when the cartilage doesn't adhere to the underlying bone correctly. And there's this little flap of cartilage. It can be a flap or it can break off and be called a joint mouse. If it's floating around, it's a joint mouse. If it's just attached, it's a flap. And they can be really tricky to diagnose on x-ray. Often it is bilateral. So often if it's one shoulder, it's both shoulders, and it's usually the shoulder, but it can be the elbow, it can be the hock, it can be the stifle. So it can be in other joints, but I have never diagnosed it in a joint that wasn't the shoulder. So it's reported, but not common. Now the shoulder is an interesting joint in that it develops arthritis fairly slowly compared to knees, hips, other joints. So you have some time, and there's a lot of discussion about OCD, whether it's always a surgical disease or not. There are some surgeons that say for the first 30 days, rest the puppy and see if it attaches back down. And there's other surgeons that say run them like bloody hell and let them see if they can break it off and not have that flap in there and if it'll heal on its own. So there are different ways to do it. And oftentimes these surgeries, if it goes to surgery, is done with arthroscopy, where they put the little thing in and just look around, because sometimes these little flaps are very hard to find, or the little joint mice are really hard to find. But if they do find a big joint mouse, and they can be sometimes a centimeter and across
in
diameter.
The size of my thumbnail, the one they pulled out of my bitch.
Yeah. If they're big enough, even if they do arthroscopy to find it, they might have to make a bigger incision just to get the critter out. Because if they try to break it up into small pieces and then they take the risk of losing a piece that floats away from them, you know, you can kind of imagine what it's like swimming in the ocean and trying to pick up some sand. That's kind of what it feels like when you're doing this kind of arthroscopy. So often the shoulder, and typically, again, it's a male puppy, but it's been seen in females as well. The first one I ever diagnosed was a female, and I was working for a veterinarian that was a really great surgeon, and she looks at me and she goes, it's not OCD, it's a female. I'm like, well, it seems like OCD. Yeah, it was OCD. But if they're x-raying, x-ray both shoulders, because it is so common that it may not be painful in both shoulders, but it's painful enough that if you x-ray, you're going to see it. And diagnosis is made on extension and flexion. So extreme movement of the joint forward and extreme movement of the joint back, and the puppy will wince. Now, some of them will cry, but most of them just kind of like their pupils dilate a little bit, and they kind of wince a little bit and they tense up. A lot of dogs are really tough and pretty stoic, and it can be difficult to diagnose these because they don't want to tell you, like, ooh, that hurts. They're not going to, well, I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to say anything. I'm at the bed. I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to lay here. So it can be a little tricky to diagnose.
I was very fortunate. I had a good friend whose clinic that she worked at, the guy was an orthopedic surgeon. So
good.
Etta's was done. She would never know. She died at 15. She was healthy as a horse. You know. With surgery, it was very treatable.
Yeah, but shoulders are pretty forgiving. They don't develop arthritis nearly as fast as other joints. So it does have the luxury of saying, well, you know, if it's OCD, you have a month or two to make a decision on whether you go to surgery. So you may find some surgeons that'll pound their fist on the table and say, this always has to go to surgery. But maybe not. It depends on the dog.
Interesting. Okay. So panosteitis, HOD, OCD.
The long list of letters,
having lived now through all three of those.
Yes.
You mentioned several I haven't had the glory of living through. So tell me about those.
Yeah, let's try to avoid those. So there's fragmented coronoid and ununited anconial, which are in the elbow. Those are the little hooks that go around the elbow. Fragmented coronoid is when it fractures, or as the growth plate forms, it doesn't do correctly. So there's fragmented coronoid and there's ununited anconial, which again means that it hasn't quite adhered together. So those are growth plates inside the joint, most commonly German Shepherds, again, most commonly boys, but hey, you know, it can be others as well. And that's why we x-ray elbows when we do hip x-rays. Mm-hmm. And there are lots and lots of people that will come in for hip x-rays, and I'll say to them when they do their OFA hips, I'm like, do you want me to do elbows? Oh, no, I don't need that. My breed doesn't have a problem. Well, I'm going to tell you my corgis do. I'm going to tell you there's a lot of breeds that do. So before you make your little appointment and take your little dog into your vet for your hip x-rays, take a look at the CHIC website, the Canine Health Information Center website. Search by breed for your breed of dog. And there's breeds of dogs on there I've never even heard of. They're beyond what the 202 AKC breeds are. So take a look at that. Or if you have a breed of dog that's a combination, like a doodle of some kind, look at both or all the breeds involved and see if they recommend elbow x-rays. And if they do, have them taken at the same time that they take your hip x-rays. Because you need to know, does your dog have a tendency to throw puppies with elbow dysplasia? And elbow dysplasia is any of these four: OCD in the elbow, ununited anconial, fragmented coronoid, and premature ulnar growth plate closure. So those are the four, and say those things fast.
So when elbow dysplasia, interesting. So we do elbows and wire hairs. It's, again, something I pray God have not had to deal with, but okay.
But you need to know if it's there, and if you're breeding dogs, you should be responsible enough to say, if my breed recommends that I do elbows, yes, I will do elbows. It costs you $5 more for OFA to read them. Now, of course, you have to pay more than that for the x-rays to be taken, but it's not that much more expensive. And the American public is smart enough to say, if they go to the CHIC website and they say, oh, you should be x-raying elbows, or you should be doing this, or you should be doing that, the American public is no longer going to allow you to pull the wool over their eyes. If you should be doing these screening tests for your breed,
right.
Do them. Do the right thing.
Yep.
So premature ulnar growth plate closure, let's touch on
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Because that's the fourth cause of elbow dysplasia that you're not necessarily going to see on the elbow x-ray. So the elbow x-ray is different than the hip x-ray. In the elbow x-ray, we hyperflex the elbow, so it's really, really flexed.
Right.
And it has to be super straight, just like hip x-rays have to be super straight. They have to be done by someone that's skilled enough to get you good x-rays. Mm-hmm. So premature ulnar growth plate closure means, so there's two bones in the front mm-hmm. leg. If you're a dog, if you're a human, the ulna, which is the part that is your funny bone mm-hmm. that comes down, and then parallel to it is the radius. Now, the ulnar growth plate is V-shaped. The radial growth plate is flat. So puppies that have trauma or certain breeds of dogs like corgis, like bassets, a lot of the chondrodysplastic breeds, mm-hmm. when they have this V-shaped growth plate, it will close before the radius growth plate closes. So that means the radius continues to grow. The ulna stops growing because of trauma to this V, because it's more susceptible to trauma because of the shape of it.
Okay.
And that means that the ulna stops growing. The radius continues to grow. It causes the foot to deviate out, but it pulls the elbow out of sync. So that is the fourth cause of elbow dysplasia, which is why I'm really fanatical about x-raying all my corgis. Even my friends that say they come to me for their corgi hip x-rays because I do a good job, they're like, oh, no, I don't need to do elbows. Yes, you do. I'm the little conscience that's sitting here on your shoulder, and I'm saying to you, yes, you do. Please do the elbows. Do the right thing. So it's just not that big a deal to do elbows at the same time. The dog's on the table. If you sedate for it, if you anesthetize for it, we don't, but most places do. Doesn't matter. If you're doing x-rays, do the elbows too. Now, you can also certify shoulders for OCD. Most breeds don't include shoulders, but again, if your breed says on the chick website, if it says
do shoulders,
do this, do shoulders, man, do the right thing.
Yeah. 100%. So let's do like 5 minutes on the genetic components. Like I know HOD is genetic. I know OCD is genetic. We know elbow dysplasia is genetic. What about pano? Where does that fall in the genetic department?
It is, because it's the large growthy breeds of dogs that are heavily boned, like corgis, like bassets, like clumbers, anything with a heavy bone. So anytime you can say it's more common in this breed than another breed, that means it's genetic. So pull your head out of the sand. Don't pretend that it's not. Mm-hmm. Suck it up, buttercup, and just realize that it's genetic. Doesn't mean that you went out and you deliberately bred a dog with a genetic problem, but if it's more common in one breed than another, it's genetic. So deal with it and try to be as responsible as you can when you're making decisions about breeding by breeding away from those issues.
Exactly. Okay. Well, and like so many of the things from hip dysplasia on down the aisle, we don't know the particular mode of inheritance.
No.
Because in this particular instance, the individual dog that I'm talking about personally, I know for a fact neither of her parents had it. So it's got to be recessive somewhere. But how far back? Like, I have literally never seen it, and her dam comes from 25 years of my breeding. So it's floating around somewhere.
We don't have a DNA test for it, other than to say, if you have a dog that's heavily boned, they are more likely to have a problem with any of these things. And if you have a boy, they're more likely. So pick girls. And a lot of people want dogs with a lot of bone because that's desirable. It's an attractive look. You know, everybody says, oh, look at that bone. Well, when you say, look at that bone, you may be inviting other issues in with it. But that's the way it is.
Yeah. All right. Well, there you go. That's the way it is, y'all.
I wish I had a best genetic answer.
I know. Well, and in the grander scheme of things, a short bout of pano, in my estimation, having been through all of these, I will take ahead of either of the other two.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's definitely non-surgical. It definitely responds well to non-steroidals.
It's fine.
Because a lot of these other disorders that we've talked about are surgical diseases. So please, you know, ask for it to be pano. Pray that it's pano because it's cheaper, it's safer, it's less invasive, and they'll get over it.
One final question. Does it come and go? Pano, like when I saw it in this individual dog, it was like different legs, different days. Some days it was gone, some days it was back. Talk about that little piece really quick.
Right. And that's the classic description is shifting leg lameness. Mm-hmm. So yes, it can be a back leg. It can be a front leg. If it's OCD, it's probably going to be shoulders. It's probably going to be both sides. It's probably not going to be the knee on one side and the shoulder on the other. If it's premature ulnar growth plate closure, ununited anconial, fragmented coronoid, it's got to be
in the front
legs. That's just the way it is. It's not going to be sometimes back legs, sometimes front legs. So that shifting leg lameness, and they usually don't run a fever with PANA, although technically they can, but it's not usually as significant as HOD.
Yeah,
and the x-rays look very different from each other. Yeah. PANO and HOD are like worlds apart on the x-ray.
I mean, the puppy that I took in with HOD had a fever of like, I don't even remember. It was like,
it can be like 104, 105. Yeah, it can be
104, 105. It was terrible. And it was a baby, baby puppy that went to bed, took fine, and woke up the next morning lying on the ground screaming and couldn't get up to pee. Like it was
it's pretty significant.
It was bad.
Right.
The other ones in the litter were not nearly as severely affected, but.
Well, aren't you lucky?
Yay, me. Actually, anytime that happens, I'd always rather it was me than one of my puppy buyers. So.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Because it's a lot easier to deal with it yourself than it is to explain it to someone else.
100%. All right. Well, there you go, guys. All the various bone growth disorders laid out in inimical, only a few rabbit holes, Marty and Laura fashion.
Yeah, well.
We'll catch y'all next month.
As always, if you have any questions or input, we'd love to hear from you. The show notes and links to resources on today's topic are available at puredogtalk.com. Drop us a note in the comments or email to laura@puredogtalk.com. Remember, guys, this podcast is for you. So if you want to know something, give me a holler. We'll do a podcast for you. If you wouldn't mind, you could help me out here. Take a couple minutes to visit iTunes and give us a review. The Dog Show Superintendents Association is a proud supporter of Pure Dog Talk. Our Dog Show Superintendents are the hardworking people who make the Dog Show function. They are advocates for education and mentorship in the purebred dog fancy. So stop by the Super's desk at your next show. Tell them how much you love Pure Dog Talk and give them a shout out for their support. That's all for today. Thank you for joining us on Pure Dog Talk.